Today in our hot seat, we've got Geert Benoit. He's the CEO of Yamagata Europe. Hi, Geert. Good to have you here.
Hello, Inge. Hello, Gabriel.
Are you ready for it? Shall we do
this? I'm totally ready. Shoot.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Inge Boonen, VP of Consulting, and Gabriel Karandashovsky, Chief Operating Officer at Newsy Insights.
In one sentence, tell us, what is it that your company does?
I will say it in English, not in Japanese, because we are a Japanese company, but we make everybody understand your message. That's what we do. And we've been doing that for 115 years, actually.
What's the first career that you dreamt of having when you were a kid?
I think I was heavily influenced by the famous Belgian character Tintin, you probably know. So I wanted to be a reporter or an investigator. And I organized in my own room, like a Tour de France or even a war. And then I commented on everything that happened or I made happen. So that was, I guess, my first dream to tell stories. I guess it was about storytelling. Of course, as you know, the albums of Tintin, he was traveling a lot. And somehow a lot of my travelings have been towards the Far East, of course, given my background. But I enjoy traveling.
And if now you were given the chance to visit three different countries, which ones would you choose and why?
I guess it's influenced by the COVID. So I would choose to go back to Japan, of course, first of all. I went to Japan, I think, over 70 times already. But spend a lot of time in the cities and in meeting rooms. So I definitely need more time to visit the country and some areas that I haven't been to, like Hokkaido up north and Shikoku. So there's still a lot of places to explore. The second one is India. I've been in India twice on a business trip also. And it was just so amazing for me, so different, so colorful. I really loved it. I also love the food. And I must admit, the three countries that I will mention, one of the criteria is they have the good daily food. Otherwise, I would never like to go back. Yeah. And to be honest, the third one is Belgium, because I learned in the COVID years to rediscover my own country. And we did a lot of small trips, just weekends, maybe sometimes 20 kilometers away from our home. I rediscovered my own country, to be honest.
When you are not working nor traveling, how do you like to spend your time? Do you have any hobbies?
During some time, I was a bit frustrated that I didn't have a hobby. Then I started with bonsai, but this was really not something for me. But I'm a gardener. I've been a gardener since almost childhood. I love gardening alone. I love walking and hiking with my wife, and I love drinking with my friends. And that reflects a bit what famous Chinese saying learned me a few years ago. I don't know where I got it, and I probably don't remember it 100% perfectly, but it says as follows: if you want to be happy for 1 hour, get drunk. If you want to be happy for 1 year, fall in love. And if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, start gardening.
What's the best piece of advice that you have ever been given?
I got so much advice from different people, but I think the nicest one I remember is when I was doing an internship in a Japanese company in the early 90s, I guess. I was actually doing an internship at Dentsu, which is a very big advertising agency in Japan. It's sometimes called the Ministry of Culture, even in Japan, because they get so many projects to organize. And one of the team leader of my internship told me, he said, "Geert, if you don't have the asobi gokoro in your job, you will never succeed." And asobi gokoro means a playful heart, enjoy what you do, be having imagination. And I really love that advice. And this is something I really need also in my day-to-day job. Otherwise, I would never survive.
Thank you for sharing. We do appreciate it. We got to know you a little bit better. And now it's time for the tougher questions. What was your first breakthrough in your career?
I actually studied Eastern language and history. And but my first job was a job at a company that hired me to become a programmer. Actually, they told me that if you can speak Chinese, you can also speak Fortran. I never understood why they hired me. But anyway, I quit the job after 2 years. But my second job was something different. And that's what I want to tell is that I was doing an interpreting job at a company, a startup company in Belgium that was owned and managed by American management, Belgian factory workers, and they hired a team of Japanese engineers to implement the Japanese Kanban and Japanese production methodology. And as an interpreter, I was just paid for 6 months to follow the Japanese staff and explain what they wanted to explain to the Belgian staff. And there I learned how to get compromises, how to deal with big egos, how to deal with cultural differences. I was really young, but this was a big breakthrough for me that I saw, it's about people. It's about convincing people. It's about getting a compromise. It's about respecting the egos. So this was really valuable for me. And it pushed me to go forward in the direction working in between Europe and Japan.
What are perhaps the three main things or occupations you spend your time on a day-to-day basis?
It's about people. It's listening and talking to the Yamagata Europe members. It's about listening and talking to the customers. It's about listening and talking to the owner of the company and the Japanese management. And it's also about listening and talking to external people. And I think that is something that we do miss in our industry. It's a very narrow-minded where we do not listen enough to outsiders in the industry. And I think we should all spend more time to talk to outsiders. I try to make time to do that.
What was your biggest failure and what have you learned from it?
Yamagata as a company has grown and become what we are today by serving the exporting Japanese industry. So, and that means supporting the Sonys, the Nikons, the Hondas, the Toyotas to export their products and make sure their documentation is right and their message is right outside Japan. They never saw, because of this DNA and of this focus, that there was a huge industry in the other direction, the inbound industry. And I simply failed in convincing them to do so. We are now have a strong into Japanese team also, but we could have had this 15 years ago.
What do you count as your biggest success?
Quite some time ago already, in the early days of, there are no early days in machine translation. It goes so long back, but we managed to win a nice contract by having the cleverness to look at pre-editing and not only at post-editing. So we realized 10 years ago that pre-editing is more important than post-editing. And we started to automate pre-editing at the time. And I think this is a real success of innovation because we were competing against the real big guys at the time for the contract. And we won it because of this simple insight, which probably the others failed to have or I don't know. I really still consider this as a big success.
What makes you a great leader in your company?
I'm not sure I'm a great leader, but I think I like the idea of walk your talk, showing by example. They also say I think that's the most important.
What is your pet peeve when it comes to clients?
Over serious people and people who take their business over serious. Yeah, it's difficult to swallow for me, to be honest. There's one book I really like, a management book. It's from Austin Kleon. You probably know Steal Like an Artist is the title. And one of the chapters is called Be Boring. And I really like it. Sometimes you have to be 200% boring to get something done. Yeah.
What advice would you give to young entrepreneurs who are just starting their own business in the language industry?
Probably the advice that my father gave me is, it's in French. He thought that anything important had to be told or expressed in French language for some reason. So he said, multiplier les échecs. So please make a lot of mistakes. So, and that's also a thing what I'm thankful to my parents. They allowed me to make a lot of mistakes and just, that's something I see in the younger generation. It's some kind of an over perfectionistic attitude, which doesn't allow making mistakes.
Thank you, Geert. Really nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
Fantastic advice.
It's a nice initiative that you have. So it was fun.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
And for the viewers, this was all, folks. Thank you for watching and look out for another episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSI website. Geert, thanks again very much for taking part in this. It was great to have you here today.
My pleasure.